right. Well, we're studying the fruit of the Spirit. It's our series called In Season. And who remembers you were here last week? What was the fruit of the Spirit from last Sunday?
Long suffering.
And so it kind of goes hand in hand with this one. It flows right from long suffering into the fruit of gentleness. And Jesus, he's the perfect example of gentleness. And of course, as believers, we're supposed to follow his example, right? We're supposed to follow the example of Jesus. We saw his example in being long-suffering, being patient last week. Well, now we're going to come to long-suffering, to gentleness. And it's probably not something that just, you know, comes naturally in our lives. Most of us, our typical human nature is not to be gentle, not to be kind. We have to really have the help of the Holy Spirit. And again, every single one of these fruits, if we go back to where we remember that we began in this, we said that the fruit of the Spirit, this isn't something we produce on our own. We can only produce the fruit of the Spirit by the help, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the filling of the Holy Spirit every day in our lives. And so gentleness is one that we can only see happen in our lives, and it will be produced and practiced in our lives with the help from the Holy Spirit of God. And so this morning, I think we'll see three things about gentleness that we'll be able to apply in our lives this week. And I mean, that's what we're supposed to do when we come to church. We take what we learn, we apply it to our lives when we leave here, you know. It's what we tell in our teachers' meetings all the time when we're talking about our children's ministry is that we teach for life change. It's not just about consuming more knowledge and knowing more things about the Bible, but we want to see life change, right? Well, we don't want just life change to happen in the lives of the kids that we're teaching. But life change should be taking place in our lives every week, right? Yeah. All right, so when we say the word gentleness, help me out here this morning. What comes to mind when you think of gentleness? What are some of the things that come to mind when you think of gentleness? Yeah. Brother Norm's wife? Patience? Don't you talk to your kids? Who else? You hear the word gentleness, what are some words and things that come to mind?
The scripture, the soft answer, turneth away wrath.
Soft answer, turning away wrath. What else?
Approachable.
Okay, yep, gentleness. What about dentist? Anybody equate a dentist with being gentle? No. Typically, when we think of going to the dentist, we don't think of them being gentle, do we? Most people, how many of you do not like going to the dentist? Yeah. I'm probably the oddball. I've never had a bad experience at the dentist. As far as dentists go, my dentist is very gentle. I've had several root canals done there, and I'm always just fascinated by what they're doing and always trying to, you know, watch in the little mirror. But maybe I'm just weird, but, you know, I enjoy going to the dentist so far. I do have a fear if I ever have to have a tooth pulled, that seems like something that that I would not want to experience. But gentle and dentist, you know, we kind of don't think of that. What about a mother? We think of gentleness and motherhood. Those things kind of go together, don't they? They have a way of being sympathetic and encouraging when things are rough, you know. If you had a mom like that, mom, some, you know, a lot of times knows kind of how to make things better. Many times as kids, you wouldn't go to dad if something was wrong, because, you know, he's going to be like, is your arm cut off? No? Okay, well, you're fine then. You know, but you go to mom, and mom can sometimes be more sympathetic and encouraging, you know, for the most part. Well, Paul, he illustrated this kind of gentleness when he ministered to new Christians. Notice what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. Paul said, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Now, was Paul a strong gospel preacher? Yes. Paul was not afraid to stand up and proclaim the word of God boldly. Paul, you know, he was beaten for his faith. He was, you know, Paul endured a lot of trials and afflictions. Paul was not a coward, was he? But Paul also realized the importance of being a compassionate minister as he was fulfilling his purpose in life that God had given to him. If you look in the dictionary, Webster Dictionary, it says gentleness is being generous and kind. Benjamin Franklin, he often tried to encourage his children to be gentle, and he actually said this, "I will speak ill of no man, not even in the matter of truth, but rather excuse the faults I hear, and upon proper occasions, speak all the good I know of everybody." His desire was to be a gentle individual. He wanted to look for the good in people. He wanted to be able to be kind to people. Now, there's not a whole lot of that in our society today. In our society today, gentleness in America, you know, people are ready. It's kind of a dog-eat-dog society, right? People are constantly looking for ways to get mad at other people, and we're on edge. And with the social media era, it's even worse. You know, people are ready with instant reactions. When something happens, you know, everybody's ready to pounce and ready to jump. A great example of this, and Chad already saw this coming up this morning. I don't know if there's any other Cub fans in the room or not. I hate to make you relive this moment, but there was an incredible situation that happened in the sixth game of the 2003 National League Championship. The Chicago Cubs and the Florida Marlins were playing for a chance to go to the World Series, right? And there was a fan in the stand. Most of the time you don't ever know a fan's name, but there was a fan in the stand by the name of Steve Bartman. Steve Bartman, he's the man with the headphones and the blue cap on right there. And the reason everybody knows Steve Bartman's name is because he interfered with Moises Alou, the outfielder, attempting to catch this ball in foul territory. And if you've never seen the video clip, I've actually got the clip for you because I wanted the Cub fans to actually relive this moment. There goes the ball. He's trying to catch it. You can see he's very upset. Oh, Steve reaches out and interferes with the ball. Alou can't catch it. Now, the Cubs end up losing this game. And then they lose the series. Fans begin to want to know, who was this man? I mean, you can see he knows what happened here after this moment. I mean, he begins wiping tears away from his face. Now, I don't think that Steve Bartman thought, you know what, I'm going to reach out here and I'm going to ruin the Cubs season intentionally. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks, I don't think that's what he was trying to do. But that's what happened. He ruins the season. And of course, we know the Cubs had this, you know, they had the curse that was going on. They hadn't won the series. How many years, Chad? About 100 years, yeah. And so he's just trying to collect a souvenir. But people begin to find out who the man was, and his name begins to leak. He ends up having to have police security. I mean, he was receiving death threats. People in Chicago hated this guy, didn't they, Chad? I mean, they hated Steve Bartman. Now, eventually, the curse was broken, right? And the Cubs won the World Series a few years ago. The Cubs, trying to put all of this to bed, they actually gave Steve Bartman a World Series ring and invited him back into the Cubs family, you know, and they, you know, because they're just trying to smooth all this over. But you talk just something as simple as a foul ball. People were ready to kill this guy because he interfered with one play. We're talking about gentleness. Not a lot of gentleness there, is it? And that's kind of a picture of our society today. I mean, people are angry, they're vindictive. You know, we can watch on the news pretty much any day. Are riots going to take place in some place in our country, some city in our country, because a group of people don't like what somebody else did? Gentleness or kindness can be hard to find, but that's the fruit in our lives that'll make or break our testimony. We're to be gentle. We're to have this fruit in our lives. One of the verses we use a lot of times when we're witnessing in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse number 10, Paul said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We've all sinned. We all have a sin nature. And so it's not natural for us to be gentle or kind. We don't want to be good, is what Paul said. We want to be bad. We want to treat people in a different manner. But because of our new nature in Christ, he desires for us to have this fruit of gentleness flowing out of our lives as an example that he set for us. And that's the first thing I want to look at this morning is the example of gentleness. We can talk about how mom could be an example of someone who's gentle. But we have an even greater example of gentleness than mom, right? We have Jesus as the example of gentleness. And I like what the book of Psalms says. This morning, all of our songs, all of our music is going to focus on praise and thankfulness as we're here in this Thanksgiving week. And I've been reading different verses that have to do with praise. And I found this in Psalm 117, verse number 1, verse number 2. It says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people." Why is the psalmist encouraging us to praise the Lord? Well, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. There's the example. The example of gentleness. His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Our God, this is his nature. This is his characteristic. This is an attribute of who our God is. When we think about God, he's full of mercy. He's full of kindness. He's full of love. He is gentle. And then we see the character of Jesus. When he was here on earth, the Apostle Peter talked about his great loving kindness and his mercy. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, Peter talking about Jesus, he said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." That's what we're talking about, the example, "that ye should follow in his steps." All right, so what is this example that Jesus said that we're supposed to follow? "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Picture with me this morning Jesus as he was preparing to go to the cross, and think through everything that he experienced for us. What must it have been like for Jesus to carry that cross up the hill? The Bible tells us that he fell underneath the weight of the cross. Another man comes and carries it for him as Jesus walks up to take our place. Think about as they're walking up, the people spitting on Jesus. All the suffering that he had already endured before he even gets to the cross. The crown of thorns, the scourging, having the hair pulled from his face, being punched by the Roman soldiers, being mocked. And then having the nails placed in his hands and his feet. And even after all that was done, as Jesus is lifted up on the cross in the sky, one man says, "You know, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just come off the cross?" I can't begin to imagine, can you, what Jesus endured for us? Yet, Peter says, when he was reviled and mistreated, he didn't revert to unkindness. He didn't reciprocate their mistreatment of him. We sing that song sometimes that says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but because of his gentleness, because of his loving kindness, because of his mercy, he reviled not again. The character of Jesus. Sometimes when we want to get worked up in our fleshly nature and we want to react to what people do to us, it might be good to go back and think about Jesus suffering for me, what he did for me, and how he reacted to those who wanted to do him harm. And then we studied the book of Acts just a few months ago, and you think of Stephen. As he was stoned, what did he do? Much like Jesus, he prayed, Lord, don't count this to their charge. And then notice the compassion of Jesus next. Not just his character, but his compassion. And it wasn't just him displaying this character towards those who hated him, but he was displaying a heart of compassion, because in his kindness, what was he offering to every single one of those people who was crucifying him? He was offering them salvation still. If they would only believe that he was the Son of God, that he was who he said he was, Jesus was ready to offer eternal life to every single one of those people who had put him on the cross. And I like that other song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Because it wasn't just those people that were standing there that day that put him on the cross, was it? It was my sin that put him on the cross. Jesus died because of my sin. And when I start to think about my sin and how bad I've been and how much I don't deserve forgiveness, I begin to see the compassion that he's had for me. You know, there's nobody in this world that Jesus doesn't want to offer salvation to. The religions around this world that deny that he's the Son of God, that persecute believers, Jesus Christ wants to see those people come to know his love and his forgiveness and his salvation. Whosoever will may come. He died for all mankind. I like what it says in the book of Titus chapter 3. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Why? It was because of his kindness, his love, his mercy. This morning, if you're saved, if you've been born again, the Bible says that you have been justified. God sees you sinless as his Son Jesus Christ this morning. Why? Because of the compassion of Jesus. In his kindness and his mercy, he offers us eternal life. We use this verse many times, witnessing Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 7, 8, and 9. It speaks of his kindness toward us, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness, there's that word, toward us through Christ Jesus. Many times we don't read verse number 7, we always read verse 8 and 9, but think about verse number 7 about his kindness as we go into verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, many people have a distorted view of God. They think that God is hateful and full of wrath, and they're ready for him to call down judgment on people. But God is withholding his judgment. Why hasn't he returned yet? Because he still wants more people to come to him. That's why it's our great responsibility. It's our high calling to go and tell other people about Jesus so they don't have to experience that wrath and that judgment. They can know the God of love. By his grace, he saved us. If you've been saved this morning, remember what the Bible says. It says that he picked you up out of a miry clay and he set your feet on a solid rock. He's lifted you up. Because of his love, his compassion, his mercy, his kindness, his gentleness. Think about how God has been so patient with you. How he's forgiven you over and over and over again. And then remember what Peter said. We have been called to follow the example of Jesus and walk in those steps. And we ask ourselves, do I exhibit that fruit of the Spirit on a daily basis to my family, to my friends, to my co-workers, to my neighbors, to the people I meet? Am I exhibiting this type of character, this type of compassion? Am I following that example? Second, we see the expression of gentleness. Jesus Christ, he's our example of gentleness. We're to follow his example, to walk in those steps. So how does that actually look on a daily basis? How do we actually do that? How do we express it in our everyday lives? Well, there's four different areas that we can express and kind of channel this fruit of gentleness into our daily routine. The first one is through sensitivity. Through sensitivity. Gentle people will be very tender toward God and others. Norm and Nancy Wood that are with us this week, they're expressions of that. They are gentle people. They have a tender heart toward God, toward other people. They're looking for ways that they can express that to others. You know, it doesn't matter how many scriptures you have memorized. It doesn't matter how many convictions in your life that you possess if you don't exhibit kindness. That's not, you know, going out. You're not going to win a whole lot of people to Christ with a superior attitude. Looking down on other people. You remember the publican in the New Testament that prayed, God, I am glad that I'm not as these other sinners are, you know, and was beating his chest. You remember the other man that was there said, God, have mercy on me because I'm a sinner. When we have the attitude of that publican and we're looking down on people, we don't exhibit kindness and we think, well, you know, here's how many I've memorized, you know, the entire New Testament. I've got more convictions than the Apostle Paul did. Well, amen, that's fantastic. I'm glad for you. But, you know, if you're mean and nasty and hateful toward other people, you're probably not winning many people to Jesus Christ. I heard of a lady, you know, talking about being insensitive in relationships. There was a lady who said, you know, my parents, they want me to get married, and they don't care who I marry anymore. There's only one stipulation. They said, I just can't marry a guy who has his ears pierced. And she said, you know, I got to thinking about it. She said, I think guys who have their ears pierced, I think they're actually better prepared for marriage because they've already experienced pain and they know how to buy jewelry. Now, that's not sensitivity, is it? She's looking for somebody that already knows how to experience pain and already knows how to buy her jewelry. That's not sensitivity. That's the opposite of what we're supposed to have in our lives, isn't it? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 4. You wonder, how is this supposed to look in our lives? Well, Paul said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're to be looking to see, what can I do for somebody else? How can I be kind to somebody else? He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what we're supposed to exhibit in our lives. And as the Holy Spirit works in our life, as we spend time in His Word, as we seek the continual filling of the Holy Spirit, we ask God to help us exhibit this fruit. There'll be an outflow of sensitivity. You know, Joey, there's somebody else who's an example of this. I mean, he's always looking for what he can do for somebody else. I mean, the way he got involved when he first came to church was he saw how busy I was doing things. And he said, can I help? What can I do? And here 5 years later, he's always trying to take things off of my plate that I'm doing to make it easier for me to do other things. He's not selfish. He's looking. He could say, you know, I've got all these things of my own to do. I'm busy. I'm doing this. And so I can't help anybody else. But he's always looking for ways to serve others. And then husbands in the room, when was the last time that you sat and thought about the burdens that your wife has and how you can help her? Yeah, I know you're busy. You're doing things. But when was the last time you thought about what she's doing? Right. How can you serve her? Right. That's the truth, isn't it? Hey, I need this morning just as much as anybody. And when was the last time wives, mothers, parents, did you thought about the burdens that your kids have? Many times we think, you know, well, kids' problems are small problems. And kids' problems are typically small problems. But when you're a kid, your small problem to everybody else is a big problem. And so when have you sat and thought about what your kids are going through? Yeah, as parents, you're working, you're busy, you're doing all sorts of things. But when was the last time you sat down and you considered, how can I show sensitivity to my kids? How can I help them this week? How can I be an example? That's what we're talking about, being an example. How can I be an example of gentleness in their lives this week? A man said to his friend, you know, he said, you know, there's very few things that upset my wife. And it makes me feel rather special to be one of them. Now, that shouldn't be, Alan, you shouldn't have said that the other day. Again, that's the wrong example, isn't it? That's not what we're looking at. He's missing the point. When the Spirit of God's working in your heart, you're not just thinking about yourself, but you're thinking about other people. And this goes back, a couple of fruit, we talked about the fruit of joy. You know that acronym for joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, you last, right? You want to experience the fruit of joy in your life? Be kind, be gentle, have that outflowing. Next, through sympathy. That's the next way that we can express this, not just in our daily lives. Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. When something good happens to somebody, man, we should be rejoicing with them. They get a raise, they get a new car, they get a new house, they have a new kid. Whatever kind of blessing comes into their life, a Christian should be rejoicing. And then it says, weep with them that do weep. We talked about this morning, we've shared some prayer requests this morning. We've got those in our church that their bodies have cancer in it. We've got those who, like Sam's sister that passed away, their family is hurting and grieving this morning. We've got people like Mary and Danny Hopkins, Sutherlands. We can show sympathy. We can hurt when others hurt. The Bible tells us that our God, He knows our feelings. He feels our pain. He knows what we're going through. And a Spirit-filled Christian is marked by his response to adversity and showing sympathy toward others who are hurting during adversity. We talked about long-suffering last week and how we respond to trials. Well, when we've experienced some trials in our life, we can then show sympathy to others that are going through similar things. That's to be the fruit of gentleness and expression in our lives. You have an opportunity to minister to people at a time when they really need someone to be their friend. They may need a shoulder to cry on. They may just need somebody to listen. You can fill that role. You can fill that role. What's the next way you can express this? Through straightforwardness. Straightforwardness. I'll give you a second to spell that word out. That's a long one. But that's another way that gentleness is conveyed. Well, how is this almost seems backward. But if we just kind of stay here together for a second, we'll see, you know, gentleness does not mean weakness. Gentleness doesn't mean weakness. Sometimes when you love somebody, it's necessary to be straightforward with them. In the book of Proverbs, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, there's going to be times in your marriage when you have to confront your mate in kindness, in gentleness. But being straightforward, there's going to be times when you have to correct your children's behavior, when you have to discipline them. And it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. When somebody cares enough about you to tell you, I mean, there's a difference in having somebody who's just constantly criticizing you and knowing that somebody actually cares about you and they're going to sit down and try to help you. And we're to be straightforward. We're to tell people. Sometimes, you know, you got some kids that are out till 2 or 3 in the morning, they're partying. Do you just let that go on? Is that being kind? Is that what's good for them? No, being straightforward is sitting down and saying, you know what? We need to have a discussion about this. There's some things that need to be straightened out in your life. A cancer patient doesn't necessarily like the wound that's caused by the surgery, right? But the wound is needful to have the disease cells removed. That's kind of why we go to the doctor. We don't like to go to the doctor. We talked about going to the dentist. We don't like to go to the dentist, but there's some necessity. We have a little hurt to go do those things, but why? Because overall, it's healthy for us. It's helpful for us. It causes us to continue in our lives. So gentleness is not weakness. It's strength under control. It's having the ability to tell someone, this is wrong according to the Word of God. And here's what I want you to see. But again, we approach them with compassion. We approach them with love. And if you care enough to confront your family and your friends when they're doing wrong, sometimes we confront other industries, like the abortion industry. We stand up and say, this is sin. This is wrong. Christianity is not being passive. No, we can stand up. We can be bold. But we do it in love. We do it in truth. We do it with a spirit of gentleness and kindness, as Christ would. And then the fourth way we can express gentleness is through spontaneity. What does that mean? Well, I like how Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. He's talking to this church, and he says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Through spontaneity. That means that you don't have to wait for the church to say, you know what, we're going to do something this week for the widows in our church. No, you can take it upon yourself that when God lays it on your heart to do something, as you have opportunity, as God presents opportunities in your life, take advantage of those opportunities and do good to those, especially those of the household of faith. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, look for opportunities to be a blessing to other people. You bake a pumpkin pie for someone this week. It may be as simple as telling one of your kids, you know, hey, I'm proud of you for bringing that F up to a C. But the Lord's going to give you opportunities. Be watching for those opportunities. That's one of the things that the Woods are great at. They're always looking and listening for ways. They'll catch something small that maybe nobody else even heard, but they think, man, there's a need that somebody has. How is there an opportunity that I have? Is the Lord giving me an opportunity to meet that need in that person's life? Mature believers, that's what we're doing. We're looking for those opportunities constantly, looking for ways that the Lord is opening doors to help other people. Let God use you. I like that quote, see the need, take the lead. Right? See the need, take the lead. Don't wait for somebody else to go, you know, do it. You do it. God's given you the opportunity. He's given you the resources. Make a difference in someone else's life. Then lastly, the empowerment of gentleness. We've seen the example and the expression of it. Well, now you say, you know, all this talk about gentleness, that's probably true, but, you know, it's just not in my DNA. I'm just not kind of geared that way. I'm not a real gentle, kind individual. Well, I know. Because we all have the same DNA. We all come from Adam. We all have a sin nature now. Sin's been passed down from one generation to the next. None of us on our own, we're not going to develop this. That's where we started this morning, saying, no, you can't produce gentleness in your own life. That's why we need the empowerment first. By the Spirit. We're empowered by the Spirit. Remember, the entire series is based on Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the what? Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. It didn't say the fruit of the church is gentleness. I mean, you come to church every day this week and you may not become any more gentle. It's the fruit of the Spirit that is gentleness. The fruit of a living God. When you got saved, you were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. It just happened. He desires to be working in your life. That's why Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a continual filling every single day, over and over and over. We've said this multiple times. You don't just get filled with the Spirit once, and then it just lasts forever. No, sometimes we get kind of running low on the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need a refuel. We have to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit continually, maybe multiple times a day. You have to say, God, I need to be filled with your Spirit right now. The first place that this empowerment should be exhibited is in the home. in the home. That's where fruitfulness begins in the lives of Christians. You have the opportunity to demonstrate the fruit of gentleness every single day around a specific group of people. Your husband, your wife, your kids, the people that live inside your home, you have the opportunity to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to produce and exhibit gentleness to those that you're around. You know, I heard about the two brothers. They were playing in the room, and the two-year-old boy, he reached up and he yanked the hair on his older brother. The older brother, I mean, he screams and yells. Mom goes running upstairs to see what's happening. He says, "He pulled my hair." And she says, "Look, son, he's two. He doesn't know what it's like to have his hair pulled. He doesn't know." You know, so everything gets fine. She leaves. Moments later, she hears another scream, but this time it's coming from the two-year-old boy. She runs up there. She says, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, Mom, you said he didn't know what it's like to have his hair pulled. He does now." Now, I won't tell you which one of you parents I heard that happened in your house this week. No, but that's the natural response of any child, right? That's not supposed to be our response to things. Somebody does something to us, we think, well, all right, how can I get even? Now, I'm just as guilty as probably anybody else in this room of not always following that. If we're all honest, we probably raise our hands and say, every single one of us, no, I've not always responded the way that I should. But in our homes, isn't that where this should really begin? Shouldn't we really be working to show gentleness to those in our house? Next, you should demonstrate a spirit-filled life in your community. Again, we don't want our church just to be known for its convictions and its righteous stand. I mean, that's good, but we want to be known that we have compassion and kindness. When people talk about this church, it's not with one of those bad stigmas that get attached to some churches. We don't want to be known as that church. We want to be known as the church that looks for ways to be kind and show gentleness to those in our community. Your gentle spirit will be a greater testimony to others than your convictions or your church schedule. It will. Be strong in your position, gentle in your disposition, as many have said. When you see people who have a need in your community, you should have a heart of compassion and service. Remember, Jesus helped the sick man in Bethesda. He didn't condemn the woman at the well who'd been married multiple times. What did he do? He saw a need, and he showed compassion and love and worked in her life. He witnessed to him. Even those who opposed him, Jesus was always looking for a way to share the gospel with others. One usher speaking to another said, "You know, we have nothing but good and kind Christians in this church until you try to put somebody else in their pew." And you know, it's kind of funny, but I read a book just a few weeks ago, and you would be amazed at how many stories I found in this book where visitors, this was a book that had interviewed first-time guests at churches all across the nation, and there was a chapter dedicated to this. Now, as far as I know, we don't have anybody in our church who has assigned seating. Our church doesn't have assigned seating. You sit wherever you want. But as I read, I was mortified to find out how many first-time guests had bad experiences going into a church and being chewed out by somebody because they sat in their seat. That's not ever going to be this church. You sit wherever you want to. If they take your seat, man, move down. Sit next to them. Be a friend to them. Praise the Lord that they're here. Be a Christian who prefers others. It doesn't always come naturally, especially with those that you attend church with. Sometimes you'll get annoyed with them, but through the power of the Spirit, you can be gentle. And then lastly, we're encouraged by the testimony of Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers us, but it's the testimony of Jesus that encourages us to have an attitude of gentleness. Ephesians 4, 30, 31, and 32. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." And then he says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind, one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Has a family member hurt you? Has another church member hurt you, offended you, despitefully used you? Let me ask you this. Have you forgiven them? Or are you still holding in bitterness and anger and wrath and evil speaking and clamoring and malice and all those things Paul said shouldn't be in our lives? There was a lady in a church. She admitted to being terribly bitter toward her husband. He was unsaved and was living a really rough life. And the pastor's wife said to her, "You need to forgive him. You need to let the bitterness go in your life." And she said, "You know, you just don't know how bad he is. He's so undeserving of forgiveness." The pastor's wife read these verses. "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." And reminded her of how undeserving she was and how undeserving we are of God's forgiveness. And she prayed for several weeks, and she finally came back and she told the pastor's wife, "You were right. I've finally been able to let go of the bitterness and the anger, and I've forgiven my husband." And she not only forgave him, but she began to show gentleness and kindness to him at home. She began to try to serve him and fix his favorite meals and do things for him. And within a few weeks, he showed up at church with her on a Sunday morning. And he heard the gospel, and he came, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he turned out to be a great servant of God. Why? Because his wife let go of the anger and the bitterness and began demonstrating gentleness. And her example spoke volumes to him, and he came to know Christ because of it. Now, are you known as a Spirit-filled Christian in your home? Are you known as a gentle individual? Are you known as a gentle person in your community, in the church? Or ask ourselves, man, are you known as the grump and the Grinch? Sometimes I've been guilty of being the grump and the Grinch. But that's not what God wants in my life. The fruit of gentleness is what he wants. Someone once said, "Make me more like you, Jesus, as I live on this earth today. Make me more like you as I show someone else your way." You know, when your example is Jesus and your expressions are Christ-like and your empowerment is from the Holy Spirit, not from you trying to produce this, that's when the fruit of gentleness will begin to flow in your life. That's when you'll begin to have an impact with other people. That's when you'll really begin to see how God desires your life to be. And you'll then begin to experience joy and peace and the other fruit. See how these all work together? It's kind of hard to have one without the others. God wants all these fruit to be evident in our lives. I hope this week you'll look for some way. Man, we got Thanksgiving week. This is a good week to show gentleness to people. It's a holiday week, right? Look for opportunities. God's going to give you an opportunity this week to demonstrate, to be an expression of his love and his compassion. Don't miss that opportunity. Look for how you can see the need and take the lead in that. Let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity we had this morning to study the fruit of gentleness. I pray that it's worked in our hearts. I pray the word of God would do its work, Lord. I pray that we would desire to be gentle, compassionate, loving, kind individuals as your expression, as your hands and feet here on earth. Lord, I pray that we would be a good testimony to our family and our friends, our community. Lord, I pray now that you would just have your will and way in the morning service. I pray that you'd have our hearts prepared for worship, that we would sing this morning songs of praise and songs of thanksgiving, that we would take our mind back to the cross and how much you loved us, and that we would lift up those songs of praise to you this morning from grateful hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to engage in the preaching this morning, that you would fill the pastor with your spirit, that the word of God would be powerful this morning, that it would work in our lives, and that we would experience life change, that we would be different this morning when we leave here because of what we've heard and what we've experienced. God, we pray that you'll be evident and welcome, that the Holy Spirit can just have free reign in this service this morning. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise for everything that happens today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.